Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. It is hour number two, and we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. We'll also talk about the NASCAR race, won by a rather surprising driver. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll also have Steve Wiseman from the Herald Sun in Durham to talk about the upcoming ACC tournament. Now, we had Steve on before talking about Duke and the struggles that the Blue Devils have had this season, and there was a feeling at the time that we talked to him, I think it was late February, where Duke was starting to turn things around. Well, that kind of went by the wayside. They have not turned things around. They were looking pretty good, continue to play well. You can make the tournament even without having to win this thing. And now it looks like they have to go to Greensboro and win the whole thing if they're going to get any sort of invitation to the NCAA tournament this year. I used to ask this question every year to my audience. I would say, look, if I could give you one all-access, all-week pass to whatever conference tournament is going on in the nation, where would you go? And inevitably, the answer was always the ACC, because they were always coming in with loaded for bear talent, teams and matchup, potential matchups that were second to none. Then, you know, sometimes you would get like, no, the Big East would be really good, you know, when Villanova was good and you'd have Butler playing pretty particularly well and whatnot, Big Ten and Big 12. If I had a choice this year, if I could go to one and cover one and just be around, it would be the Big 12. But what's going to go on in Kansas City, I think, is going to be thrilling. I think there are some teams that have got to make a move, have got to really start solidifying themselves, and I think you are going to see a team in Baylor that is very capable of winning the national championship. Look, there's about six or seven of them that have got a really, really good chance of cutting down the nets. Everybody outside of that usual six or seven at the top need a few breaks here and there, but are, you know, still a very talented team. You wouldn't be surprised that they won it, but they're not going to be the favorites. But Baylor is on that list, number two team in the nation. They won the regular season title. They'll have, you know, a conference tournament that's got Texas Tech, West Virginia's playing particularly well. Oklahoma State's a lot better. Oklahoma is desperate and needs to get a resurgence. There's going to be some fun stuff in the Big 12 that's going to be in Kansas City. We'll talk to Steve Wiseman about the ACC, though, and some of the spots there coming up in this hour. But coming up next, good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Monday edition all weekend to find some great stories. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day is that Coach Primetime can actually coach.
Coach Primetime can coach. Yeah, that is a good.
He is now 2-0.
This is spring football at Jackson State.
Yep, because they did not do fall.
That's right.
And he has them at 2-0, and they just completed an upset of Grambling State.
Yeah, I saw that. I was very impressed.
But there's only one thing that confuses me about this are some of the numbers that came back.
Okay.
Okay, because first of all, Grambling State and Jackson State are rivals.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that, but this is the first time.
They play in the SWAC.
Yeah, but this is the first time Jackson State has beaten them. Since November 3rd, 2002.
Okay, so almost 20 years.
Yeah, but it's a five-game losing streak.
Oh, so they don't play very often?
I guess not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then
I thought everybody in the SWAC played. It's not a huge conference. Yeah, I thought everybody played against each other.
I thought so, too. And then the other thing that is kind of mind-blowing to me, or I'm trying to figure out, is that this snaps a 16-game home win streak for Grambling. Their last loss came September 12, 2015.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, they don't usually play a ton of games. I thought they played more.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out the numbers. I mean, I would figure there's maybe at least like, what, five games a year you're playing at home, or four games a year you're playing at home?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not a huge, like, it's not a huge.
Yeah, but does that make sense to have a 16-game winning? By the way, not 2002, 2012.
2012, okay, all right.
So that one makes a little bit more sense that maybe you haven't won, you haven't beaten them in since 2012.
Yeah, it's, again, they don't play, like, 13 games like other schools
yeah.
do. But that's still.
But it just seems like too little.
Yeah.
16 games since 2015, we're talking 6 years.
Well, good for Jackson State then.
But this is
good.
Prime time is actually knowing what he's doing. I didn't know if this was going to work out, to be honest with you.
Me either. I was kind of nervous about it. He's such a good personality on TV, but I didn't think it would actually lay out to coaching.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He's a good personality, but is he a good analyst?
Right,
I have no doubt he understands the game backwards and forwards. You have to
he's more of a personality. I think he says some things that are right on, but he's like anybody else. He's very personality driven. That's his appeal.
So, I mean, either he's a really good head coach or he really knows how to put together a crack staff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Good for Dion.
Yeah. And just probably more to come. I'm thinking now, you know, because his first win had a weird situation afterwards. I don't think anything happened to him after this win.
No.
I don't think anything got stolen of his.
He's very enthusiastic on the sidelines. There's like a video of him running with a player and all that. So he's done some
good
work.
He's probably a really fun coach.
Oh, I can only imagine. He must be a blast.
I mean, and he's probably one that gets out there. Like, you get a lot of coaches. Like, you'll never see Andy Reid, like, get out there and, like, yeah, let me show you how it's done.
Right.
But I can
exactly.
see Dion being out there, like, no, this is how you cover a guy. Watch what I do.
Yeah.
You know, run it's the good. Play. And he's, you know, he's doing all the things he does.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
Probably the worst beat ever on The Price is Right.
I saw this, and I'm so glad you brought this up. Let's talk about this.
Well,
this is so true. It made me want to change the rules of Price is Right that have been in place forever.
Well, let's, you know, for the viewing audience, because, you know, we have a lot of viewers listening, let's play the sound clip first so everyone can be on the same page as us.
All right.
$27,349 was your bid. Actual price, $33,432. Difference of $6,000. $83. Jennifer, you had a video camera, a home theater, and a Nissan Versa. You bid $23,294. Actual price, $23,291. You are over by $3.
This is Jennifer, devastating.
You know what? Robert, congratulations. Don't overget your problem. Jennifer, I mean, ice cream, whatever kind of comfort food,
$3.
I
knew I shouldn't
have said
$294.
That was...
Drew Carey, buy that woman a car.
Yeah, I mean...
Somebody from Price is Right, give her a gift package that is worth $29,000.
If you haven't seen the video, do yourself a watch the video, because Drew Carey is reading this perfectly, because this, I mean, you look down, you look up, you look down again, and you're like, oh, I got to say this to her. I mean, just what else you can say? Buy yourself some ice cream. I don't know. Go get some good comfort food. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you console yourself.
For whatever reason, that has always been the rule on that game show. You cannot go over the price. So that's the rules. But my God, that guy was $6,000.
Yeah.
It's like he's never played the game before.
He was nowhere near it.
$6,000. You might as well just randomly pick numbers off the top of your head than actually try to calculate the cost of these things. It's like, hey, this is the Green Egg Grill. How much is that? I don't know. $15,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why is he even playing the game?
And she goes,
this woman was $3 off. I kid you not. You could work in the business of merchandise and not get $3 close to the price. You could be an expert in every manufacturing retail price of every item ever made in the history of mankind and not hit the price of that by $3. That woman is single-handedly the greatest contestant ever, because the guy that nailed the Showcase Showdown on the dot is accused of cheating.
Yep.
She is the greatest Showcase Showdown player in the history of the game, and they're going to give her nothing? He suggests ice cream as comfort food?
But I love how he's like, you know, he wants to console her. And he goes, oh, by the way, I think his name is Kevin. Kevin, you win. You won. Yeah, you're the winner.
Go play with the models over there with your new trailer or whatever it is you
want. Let's go back to you. I'm feeling really horrible. Is there anything I can do for you? You
know, Paul Barker would have stopped the music. He would have said, stop the music.
Yeah.
Ma'am, I'm out of my own personal wealth. I'm going to get you this showcase.
Somehow, some way.
I've been doing this for 40-plus years, and no one has hit it even close, and you nailed it by $3 going over. Make sure all of the items here are yours.
But I think you're right. I mean, if you're over, you're over. I get that.
I get that.
But if you're over, say, within $100, maybe we're a little more lenient. I don't know.
Goodness gracious.
Definitely $3. I mean,
do you realize that if you get it if you bid within $100, you win both showcases?
I think they upped it to a 150. But
did they?
I think so.
Well, it doesn't matter to her. She nailed it within $3.
Over.
Oh, goodness gracious. That must have killed her.
You even hear her as it fades out. Like, she's like, I knew I shouldn't have said 94. You know, it's like, what were you going to, I mean, just, I guess, stick to whole numbers, stick to 90. I don't know. I don't know how you would justify that.
Meanwhile, the other contestant who's probably never been in a store in his entire life based on his terrible bidding is walking away with prizes, filling out all the forms. Like, where would you like your whatever sent to? Oh, yeah, okay, and I get this too, and that, yeah. Well, you get all of it.
And the thing is, I mean, you know, probably there was a car involved because this showcase was 30,000. Sure. He bid 23, so he's probably going off of 1980s prices. Like, there's no way a car can be more than 20,000.
Exactly.
No way.
How much is this Rice-A-Roni? 15 cents? Oh, we'll take it. Why not? Why not? Sure.
I know. It makes me want to watch the entire Price is Right just to see how they did during the regular games.
Exactly.
But yeah, $3
$3
over.
So glad you brought that up. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is probably one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, or actually dumbest things I've ever heard.
All right.
Donnie Marshall. He's a color analyst for college basketball, and he was calling. It was a national televised game between, I think it was Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay. That was this weekend.
Yep. And, I guess the referees were going to the television a little bit too much to review plays.
Right.
And he had this to say about it.
I can see they got a little tangled up there.
Adam,
sure.
How many times are we going to this monitor, man?
Yeah, it's four or five times today, yeah.
Let's go to the monitor. It's like watching a movie with my wife. It's like, pause. She keeps talking. Okay, pause. What now? Pause. What now? We don't need to keep going here. Let's just get through this.
Yeah, DJ and Bo are both...
Let me just make something clear. I would not make it alive out of that broadcast if I said watching a movie with my wife was annoying. She would find her way to that broadcast booth, and they would be finishing the game without me.
You don't go home.
No.
You don't go home. You can't. There's no humanly possible way this guy drove home. I mean, if he took like the Sylvester Stallone driving through the empty streets of Philadelphia route home.
Really playing with fire with that one. Because if I'm his wife now, every time I watch a movie, I pause it every 2 seconds.
Huh? Oh, you know God.
What? You know what? You don't like this? You don't like me doing this? You don't like, me talking? What? Oh, yeah, you want to get going with this movie? We're going to do this all night, honey. All night. Click, click. Oh, look, some action. Nope. I'm going to pause that. Let me break that down for you. Oh, Spider-Man's getting his butt kicked by the Green Goblin. Let's see what happens. Oh, let's not see what happens. Let's talk some more.
Yeah. Also, she's already watched the movie.
She's like,
you know what?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is a ghost.
She's going to play.
First 5 minutes into the movie.
He's dead man walking. It's unbelievable.
I mean.
Like, if I was the play-by-play announcer, I'd be looking over going, I'd literally be mouthing, what are you doing?
I would have scooted my chair over.
What are you doing?
I would have said, you know, I would have told the producers, pan the camera on me because I want to hold up a sign to my wife saying, I do not agree with him at all.
I don't agree with this at all, honey. Maybe. That you could talk all, just hearing your beautiful, sweet voice while I'm trying to watch a movie I've been dying to see for the last couple months is good enough for me. Love is blind. It's also a little deaf sometimes. I don't care. Yeah. Keep talking, honey.
Maybe I'm holding up a sign that's saying I'm sitting next to stupid with a big arrow pointing right next to him.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Yeah.
There's no way. I have no affiliation with Mr. I don't even remember his name now. Is it Danny Montgomery? I don't know his name. He's new.
That is hilarious. Unbelievable. Some people, unreal. Unreal. Yeah. Open mic, people. Open mic. We don't need you to say everything that's on your mind.
This is an open mic. He knew what he was saying.
That's true. He did dive into the swimming pool on the deep end knowing what was happening.
He thought maybe he's like, you know what? If I say this, maybe I'll get a laugh. It's funny.
That's right.
The wife will laugh it off. And meanwhile, she's showing up at the next PTA meeting. It's like, oh, watch any good movies with your husband lately?
That's right.
It. That's all she needs.
That's all she needs.
And you're not even sleeping on the couch.
Nope, that's enough. You're sleeping in the garden. Steve Wiseman's going to join us later on this hour. We'll talk ACC tournament that's getting underway Tuesday at Greensboro, North Carolina. But coming up next, the winner of the Las Vegas NASCAR race on Sunday was somebody who thought he would never race again. We'll tell you why when we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So yesterday, NASCAR had its fourth race of the season. They spent the first three races in the state of Florida, running twice at Daytona, once in the Speedway, once on the road course, and then Miami. And then they did their West Coast trip. They went to Las Vegas. And the winner yesterday was Kyle Larson. Now, for those of you who follow NASCAR, know that this is the fourth different driver to win this season, and it was his seventh career victory on the Cup Circuit. For those of you who don't know NASCAR, you might also remember that he was the guy who used a racial slur during a e-sport event during COVID shutdown that led to his suspension by the team, and he lost his ride. Now, at the time, I was wondering, would he ever drive again? He was a young driver, 24, I think, 25. And I thought, is anyone going to give him an opportunity? Like, once you make this kind of faux pas where you're on this esports game, you're on the broadcast channel of the game, he's doing the driving, and you use the N-word, are you going to be able to work again in the sport in this day and age? And I didn't think he would for a while. I thought, you know, this is a sport that is 100% about sponsorships. I mean, you are beholden to the sponsors. You got to do all the appearances. You've got to shake hands. You got to take the pictures. The sponsors of your team have got to be so thrilled to see you. In my early days covering NASCAR, I was blown away. Like, I would follow, like, I would do, like, I was allowed, like, meet, like, they would say, hey, if you want to interview Jeff Gordon or Rusty Wallace or Mark Martin, you can come to this meet and greet that he's doing with some sponsors, and then he's going to do a quick Q&A afterwards. So if you want to come with us. And I would go into these sponsor rooms with Jeff Gordon, and people would lose their minds. I mean, lose their minds. Adults, older adults, kids, of course, teenagers, it didn't matter. They would go ballistic. They couldn't wait. There would be a camera there because this is obviously before the iPhones. You could get your picture. They'd have the picture developed for you and sent it to you. I mean, these are people with money. These are people that are giving money to this team, and they can't wait to see the driver. Like, the sponsor is like, we're bringing a lot of VIPs here, and Jeff Gordon's going to meet all of them and make them feel special. That's the job of these drivers. That's part of their job. It's not just to win races. It's also to shake a lot of hands and say a lot of thank yous and take a lot of pictures and to be available to the people that make your team go. And I thought to myself, Kyle Larson doesn't do that right now. He's kind of poisonous. What sponsor is going to want to be all excited about seeing a guy that dropped that in a video game? But he did get a job. He did. Rick Hendrick Racing decided to bring him on board, and they gave him an opportunity because he's a talented kid. There's no question about that. Everybody kind of feels that way about him. He's a talented kid, but he gave him a second chance. So they ran at Las Vegas yesterday, and Kyle Larson won. And you know what? Bubba Wallace was one of the first people to go up to him to congratulate him in victory lane. Bubba Wallace, who has been supportive of Kyle Larson, accepted his apology and felt like Larson's career shouldn't have been thrown by the wayside over this, was one of the first people to congratulate him.
So, hey, this needs to be a microcosm of,
I think so too,
of the world we live in now.
I think so too. Like, I think so too.
Yes, I mean, people say stupid things, but we're grown adults, and we learn from your mistake and move on.
Yeah, and I think he did all the apologies, and he said all the right things he was supposed to, and you know what? He getting a ride, and then you got to put the car in victory lane, and he's got a good team, and he's a good driver, so this didn't seem all that super. I mean, it was surprising, but it wasn't surprising. Like, it wasn't a huge underdog, but, you know, he won this race in Las Vegas, and he ran a good race. And Mario Andretti said it was one of the best races he has seen in a very long time, how competitive it was and what kind of drive Kyle Larson had. But, again, this is coming off – I mean, think about where he was almost a year ago, where he's a young kid that may have thrown his entire career away over that slur, where people were angry at him and they demanded stuff out of him, and he was caught in a whirlwind of people being very, very angry. And I'm sure in the back of his mind, he was thinking, okay, I'm really sorry. I can't believe I did this. But at the back of my mind going, I don't know if I'm ever going to do this again. Am I going to do this for a living? And he got a win. He got a win. Listen, and I'm glad Bubba Wallace was the first one to say congratulations. And I'm glad he has that kind of support. So that was happening in NASCAR yesterday on the circuit. We're going to talk to Steve Wiseman coming up on the ACC tournament. This is an exciting time. We've got the conference tournaments this week.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous last year when we were going into conference tournament week. Yes. A year ago, we were like, okay, let's see if these go down. We weren't quite there in shutdown mode yet, but there was little rumblings. There was a little feeling like COVID was coming. We didn't know what it was going to be like. But then later on, as we got to the week and we got to Wednesday, then all of a sudden, we were like, okay, we don't think we're going to have any conference tournaments. And then before you know it, everything was shut down. So I'm glad. The ACC tournament should be interesting. Florida State's very good. Virginia is the number one overall seed. I think, of course, there's going to be some eyes on, does Duke make a run in this thing to earn a berth into the NCAA tournament? I know there's a lot of Duke conspiracy people out there who think that the selection committee will just bring in Duke no matter what. It's not true. That's not going to happen. They have done nothing to earn a berth into this tournament based on their resume. They are a lousy basketball team. They got blown out by North Carolina over the weekend. They're not good. The only way they're getting in is the automatic bid. Trust me on this. Let me tell you something. I don't want to bet on this show again because I still owe you all a walk to Chicago. But Duke is going to need to win the ACC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. They are 11-11. They are the number 10 seed in the ACC. Don't go that deep, right? It's not going that deep. And the question, though, that we do have to ask when it comes to these tournaments, where we know that a lot is on the line for a lot of schools, right? If you're on the bubble, you need to make a good showing. Now, some schools, and I do believe this is Duke, I think they need to win the whole thing. Some schools do not need to win the whole thing. Some schools just need to kind of show up, play really well, get to maybe a semifinal, better if they got to a final, and then sort of cement their legacy. How many games does a tournament win count in sort of the theoretical of what, I mean, in terms of value, right? If I'm Kentucky and I go to the SEC tournament, and Kentucky's in the same boat, although they've been playing a little bit better, but Kentucky's kind of in the same boat in Nashville. Does a win against Mississippi State in the opening round of the tournament equal two regular season SEC wins? Does it equal just one? What kind of value does it have? If they move on and upset Alabama, how much does that count towards their resume? Duke is going to ask these same kind of questions. There's going to be a feeling about that when these same kind of questions. But, look, I think there's a season for everything in college basketball. There's a season of dominance. There's a season of sort of regression. I think that there are teams that are going to rise, teams that are going to fall. Duke has had a magnificent run forever under Coach K. This has just not been their year. You can wish for the old days when, like, it used to be North Carolina and Duke and NC State and Virginia. Yeah. We get it. But this year, we're not getting a good North Carolina team, although they are 16-9, not bad. Duke is just not going to be one of them. However, they could make a run. We'll talk to Steve Wiseman coming up on the expectations in Greensboro for everybody, including a team like Georgia Tech, who is red hot going into this tournament. It's all coming up. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The ACC tournament getting underway on Tuesday, Greensboro, North Carolina. All the favorites that you know and love over the years of ACC basketball, including, yes, the defending national champs, Virginia Cavaliers from 2 years ago. Steve Wiseman joins us from the Herald Sun to give us a little preview of what you can expect this week in Greensboro. How are you, Steve?
Doing well. How are you guys this morning?
Good. By the way, Steve is on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Before we get into the individual teams, before we get into some of the things that the individual teams may or may not have to do in Greensboro this week, right now, today, when you talk about the selection committee, how deep is this conference in terms of teams that will make this tournament?
I think you're probably looking at six deep, maybe seven. Louisville's in good shape. Of course, Virginia Tech, Florida State, North Carolina. Georgia Tech has played its way into the tournament now, so that gives them seven. I think Clemson, is 16-6. They've had a couple of pauses, but they have a really strong resume. And then Louisville would be the last one on that list. They probably could use a win on Wednesday in their first game. It's probably going to be against Duke or Boston College, and they obviously can't afford to lose that one. Would hurt them. So, yeah, seven.
The teams that are on the outside looking in, who needs to win it all, who doesn't necessarily need to win it all in order to get an invite?
I would say Syracuse could get on in a stronger position with two wins. NC State at 13-9 probably needs to win at least three, if not win the whole thing. They start playing on Wednesday in the second round. Duke needs to win all five. They have to win five games. They're a 500 team, so. That's where they stand.
All right, so we're coming into this, and some teams are really hot, and some teams are playing particularly well. Georgia Tech has won six in a row. They got a chance to win this thing?
They certainly do. Absolutely. I just saw them, just a few days ago when they played Duke, and they have a senior guard in Jose Alvarado, and we know how important veteran guards are in March, right?
Yeah.
And then you couple that with Moses Wright, who may be the player of the year. They're going to announce it here within about 20 minutes. He may be voted as ACC Player of the Year, coming on so late, strong in the middle, big. I mean, just rebounding, blocking shots, scoring. He's been a beast down the stretch here. So that's two big pieces that you can use to win a tournament like this.
How did Josh Pastner do this? I mean, this is a team that is really coming. They've won six in a row and some really quality wins in that stretch.
They have, yeah, and they've come together. He's built it slowly as he's gone along here. And Moses Wright was an under-the-radar, diamond of the rough type guy. He's from Raleigh, and nobody in the ACC recruited him.
Wow.
So none of the local teams. Yeah, he just is right under the radar. And has worked and developed himself into a player of the year type guy over time. He's a classic old school college basketball guy that stays 4 years and is really good by his senior year. And that's made a big difference for them.
Virginia, as I was kind of alluding to, they are still the defending champs because no one got the crown last year. But is this Tony Bennett team a little different than what we've seen in the years past?
Yeah, they they had that losing streak last month, where they right. lost three games in a row, including the Duke and NC State. So those are bad losses, and they're not as their firepower offensively is not as strong as the team 2 years ago. And so they've had some problems there. They've had some problems with turnovers a little bit. And the defense is always there. Jay Huff is a great player in the post, right in the middle there to anchor that defense. But yeah, they're not as good as they were 2 years ago. That doesn't mean they're not going to win this thing, but they're just a tick behind.
Florida State, a team that was number one in the conference for a while before Virginia took over that spot. They come into this tournament at 15-5. They spread the ball around. A lot of different players score for the Seminoles. What team do they have heading to Greensboro?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're deep. They're athletic. But they were really good at home this year. They ended up 3-4 on the road, including that inexplicable loss Saturday to Notre Dame that cost them the regular season championship. I thought they were the best team in the league all year, especially the way they pounded Virginia in a game at home. But they're just different away from Tallahassee. And I like their team. I like what Leonard Hamilton does, the way they play defense, the way he keeps everybody fresh. And not one big star, right? They have a lot of players. Yeah. You can't really focus on one guy. But
They've got to prove they can win away from Tallahassee. This is where they start doing it, in Greensboro.
How would you evaluate the season of North Carolina? They were one of those teams that found some struggles but then found some success. It feels like I get a different read on them every week.
Yeah, they're still a hard team to pin down. I mean, Saturday night against Duke, I mean, they were as good as any team in the country. You know, the first 10, 15 minutes of that game when they took control, they were up by 20 points. But then, you know, a few days earlier, they lost to Syracuse. I mean, they beat Florida State. Before that, they lost at home to Marquette, right? And they're just incredibly up and down. It's because they have freshman guards, and you kind of don't know what you're getting from Caleb Love every night or Kerwin Walton. They have a deep front court that can play in March, but they're going to need somebody in that backcourt to be more consistent because, again, as I mentioned with Jose Alvarado, veteran guards in March is how you win. And so Carolina's going to have one of those freshmen become the more consistent player if they're going to go far in the tournament.
There are a lot of teams in the ACC that are kind of bunched together when it comes to records, and there's kind of an old saying, like, parity doesn't always equal excellence. Sometimes it can, but sometimes everybody can just be bad. But in terms of the road through the ACC for your typical team, was it a tougher road? Was it a road of mediocrity? I mean, how would you describe just the standard ACC schedule for a team like Virginia Tech or Clemson or anybody else in the conference?
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a tough road because this is not a great ACC year, which, you know, I cover Duke mainly, and that's what makes it so odd about Duke being so poor in a year that the league wasn't really good, but that's a whole other matter. But there was a lot of ups and downs. I mean, some teams had fans in their gym all year, like Georgia Tech had fans and Florida State had fans in their gym, and they both did really well at home games, right? Other teams didn't have any fans, like Duke, and they didn't do as well this year. I'm not saying that's why. Okay, I'm going to say that's a fact that we have to play in there. It was really hard to get a handle on from game to game who was going to do what. Again, I thought going into Saturday, Florida State was going to walk away with the championship. Notre Dame had come off a terrible loss. Mike Bray had been booed off the court by his own fans the game before. And they come out and beat Florida State. Now, who saw that coming, right?
Right.
So that just tells you how odd this year has been in the league.
And listen, we all know these conference tournaments, you know, anything can happen. It's basketball. It's one and done. You may get a surprise that are going through. Is it more than likely, though, that the top of this conference is just so much better than everybody else, and we are unlikely to see a 9 seed run through this thing?
I don't think so. I think there's a chance, you know, Louisville could get on a run and go through Clemson, you know, from the 6 seed or 5 seed, and they could do really well. You mentioned Georgia Tech, they're a 4 seed, but that gives them a double bye, so they're kind of in the upper echelon. But I think it's very possible, given what we've seen. They should just, again, just mention what happened with Notre Dame and Florida State on Saturday.
Sure.
That just tells you that it's possible for anybody to beat anybody in this league, outside of the real bottom teams. I'm talking Boston College, Wake Forest, but in Miami. But the other teams can all go on a run and win 2 or 3 games.
How good is Syracuse? I mean, they still play the zone, but, I mean, does Boeheim have some legitimate scorers on his squad?
I mean, he does. One of them is his son, Buddy.
Buddy can shoot.
Scored really, yeah, he can. And Quincy Guerrier has been a good player all year in Griffin. So Dolaje is just a classic, you know, again, long-term college player that gets better each year. So, I mean, that zone is always the X factor. Can they get the turnovers they need to generate offense? And most of the time they have. So there's a possibility they could do it. Again, there's somebody that could get in there starting on Wednesday and make a run, and then the run they need to get into the NCAAs.
If I'm up, if my memory serves me right, and sometimes it does fail me, but I do remember they carried a zone 1 year that they made an unexpected run to the Final Four in Houston a couple of years ago.
They did in 2016. They beat Virginia in the Elite Eight.
That's right.
And that's something else that you talk about, the zone. They also have a full court press they throw in every once in a while.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
Flummoxed Virginia that game. So that's another thing that they have in a tool bag that can help them.
All right, you mentioned Clemson. They had a nice little good win streak through in the middle of the conference season. Give us an idea what the Tigers are.
Yeah, I mean, they're very tough defensively. They have a great player in the middle in Amir Sims. They have some, you know, decent guards in Clyde Trapp. He's a senior. Again, talk about veteran guards. That's what you need. I mean, they were really hurt by they had a couple of COVID pauses, and they came back and played poorly after one of them. They lost 3 in a row and 4 out of 5, including the loss to Duke. But then, since then, you know, they've won, I think, 6 out of 7 coming into this tournament, only lost to Syracuse last Wednesday. So they're a tough-minded team. They're always pretty good defensively. Brad Brunell's teams always are. And that's made them a good team this year. And they're 16-6. I think they've already done enough to get into the tournament because they have some really good out-of-conference wins, too, over Purdue, Mississippi State, Maryland, people like that, Alabama. They've already done that.
All right, I'm going to ask you this because it's a team you cover and it's a team you know and it's a team you and I talked about not that long ago, and it's Duke. Is there fight in this team? Is this a team that has got talent and a fight in them to do exactly what you said, which is win this thing and get into the tournament?
I would be surprised at this point. I mean, I thought just a week ago when they'd won those four games in a row.
Yeah.
That then those two overtime losses really just zapped them, and they came out so flat and unenergetic and no passion against Carolina on Saturday. It was just stunning to me as somebody who's covered this program 10 years. I don't know if they have it in them to rebound and get going again for this. To win five in a row is just, I mean, it's just unheard of. They've won four in a row 4 years ago. They were the first team in the ACC to do that, to win four in a row to win the championship. But I just don't think this team has the consistency in play, particularly in the backcourt, to put five games in a row together and do that.
Outstanding stuff. ACC tournament again in Greensboro, North Carolina. Steve Wiseman from the Herald Sun. He's going to be covering it all. Go check out his coverage. Really appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You got it. I love it. Steve Wiseman on the ACC tournament in Greensboro on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Some final thoughts on that one, plus a little bit more college basketball as it is conference tournament week. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. All right, our thanks to Steve Wiseman. And he said it. He's a guy that covers the Duke program. He's been covering them for 10 years. Don't drink the Kool-Aid of conspiracy that somehow this committee, this selection committee, needs Duke in this tournament, and they're going to find whatever way they can to get him in. They're not getting in unless they win the ACC tournament. They need to win this to get in. They're not getting in.
Duke's not going to be in the tournament.
They're not winning five in a row. There's no way. And that's the reason I saved the question for last. Look. Duke was a team, and when we had Steve on, it looked like they were starting to turn things around.
Yeah.
They had a win against Virginia. They had a blowout win in that trek against Wake Forest. They had beaten Syracuse. They had won four in a row. Things were really looking good. And so they looked like they were starting to, they were talented, and they were starting to turn things around. You could see them, all right, if they close out with two out of three, or maybe even winning all three and getting into the ACC tournament, they'd only have to win a couple of games, and then they'd get an at-large bid. Nope, they lose three in a row. They get blown out by North Carolina. Now they got to win five in a tournament they don't seem to want to be in.
Now, that was the other thing that was weird, is you guys are previewing some of obviously the hotter teams in the ACC, and you never mentioned North Carolina once.
We did. We talked North Carolina.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah, see, but it was short, though.
That's right. We didn't elaborate on it as much.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah.
I told him that it feels like North Carolina, and he said that it's hard to get a read on them. I feel like every week I'm getting a different report on North Carolina. Like, oh, they're playing great. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, yes, they are. No, they're not.
That's another team. Are we going to be without them as well?
Yeah. Well, they're sixth, I think, in the bracket, so that's not bad, but... if they get upset in their first game, and I think it's to be determined, so they're going to be playing on Thursday, I think, or Wednesday. I think Wednesday. If they get taken out in the first game, yeah, they could be out. They could be out. This could be a six team field for the ACC in the tournament.
Yeah.
And that would allow, like he said, Louisville and Syracuse have got just enough on their resume where a couple of wins could get them an at large. North Carolina, if they lose, I mean, they'd be, I mean, 16-9 is not a great record. It's not great. I mean, in COVID, it's a different way of evaluating records now.
But. I just hope that they kind of stick to their guns a little bit. And not go, well, COVID.
Yeah,
and, it's North Carolina. Let's just put them in.
Listen, I told you last week, I told you that locally here in Nashville, Belmont had a fantastic season. And they went to the OVC championship and they were playing Murray State, I think, and they lost. That was it. That was it. The sports reporter on television made no bones about it. Like, the season is over. Maybe they get an NIT bid. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no at-large bid for an OVC runner-up, or even if they've gotten close to 30 wins on the season. That's not happening. They're not getting that. You know, but if you're in the ACC and you're Louisville and you're win a pop a few games in there and get to that 16th win, you might pull it off.
Far cry from the ACC, like what, throwing 12 teams.
Remember when they used to fill up the box score, man, and fill up the roster.
Like, oh, you're in the ACC, you're in the tournament. Like, come on in.
Golly, it's crazy. And that's what made the ACC tournament so good, is like it had all of these automatics anyway.
Yeah.
And then every now and then you might see a team kind of pop and make some noise and make, but it was low. So these teams would be playing each other just to play each other, right?
It's kind of like a warm-up.
It's just like we're all going to be good. That's kind of what's going on in like the Big Ten. Although Michigan lost again, thank you very much,
yeah.
Wolverines. I can't believe this. I can't believe I would. Just a week ago, I was telling you how awesome the Wolverines were, and they lose two games it took them forever to lose two games. General. Soon as I give them the kiss of death, Juwan Howard's like, I don't know what to
all
do.
Right, well, you know what? Hey, stay away from Duke then.
That's right. I might as well.
Or unless you want to give him the kiss
exactly.
of death.
Exactly. Jay Gasman Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.